Hello there and welcome to the program. Come on in, make yourself at home. My name is Gary Zimek, and as always, it is my pleasure to be able to host you and hang out with you for 30 minutes as we look this week at the Mass readings for the third Sunday of Lent. The subject this week, and I read over the readings, I prayed about it, and what came out to me was divine mercy, the incredible mercy of God. And we're going to see that theme weaved throughout all of the Mass readings this Sunday. And then for our Give Up Worry for Lent segment, as we look at this, the reflection for Give Up Worry for Lent for the third Sunday of Advent, the message is, you can't, but Jesus can. And I think for so many of us who struggle with anxiety, it's good to know that even though we may be weak, the Lord is strong. He is infinitely powerful, and He can do all things. So with Him, all things are possible. I can do all things in Christ who gives me strength. Amen? All right, amen. So before we get on with the show, we're going to pray. I'll give you a couple of updates, and then we'll look at the Give Up Worry for Lent reflection, and then we'll launch into the Mass readings, which this week are all about God's incredible mercy. And in order to put things into their proper place, this is the third Sunday of Lent, and then we have next week the fourth Sunday, followed by the fifth Sunday of Lent, okay? And then the following Sunday after that is Palm Sunday, which leads us into Holy Week. So even though we've got a good amount of time to go, we're really making our way through Lent. I don't want you to panic. If it has been a difficult Lent for you, maybe you don't feel like you're making the progress you should make, you have got plenty of time left. If you feel like you're doing well, but you might look ahead and say, oh no, I've got plenty of time left. What am I going to do? What if I mess up? Let's continue to take it one day at a time. I think that's the secret for accomplishing, for making sure that we have a good Lent. And also let the Holy Spirit take charge of your progress. I think that's a problem that we sometimes give into. We predetermine how much progress we should make during Lent, and if we don't meet our own expectations, we get frustrated. Let's leave it up to the Holy Spirit to decide, okay? So thank you for joining me. Let's pray now. Let's remember that we're in the presence of our Heavenly Father, Almighty God, who loves us, who can't wait to hear from us, and who, more than anything else, wants to be in a deep relationship with each one of us. So let's begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Father in heaven, thank you so much for being here with us. We're very grateful that we have this time to not only be in your presence, but to be able to have a conversation with you and present our needs to you, Father. But before we do that, we want to praise you. We want to praise you for your infinite power. As we look around us, Father, so many things overwhelm us. The problems of the world, the problems in our country, the problems of our own lives. We just become so overwhelmed, trying to make decisions, do the right thing, solve problems. But for you, Father, that's not a big deal at all. You can do all things. You have infinite wisdom. We're grateful for that. We are grateful for your power in creation. You have created the entire universe out of nothing. This is way beyond our comprehension. But that just gives us an idea of how powerful you are. So we praise you, Father, for that. We also thank you. We thank you for bringing us to a new day. We're alive today only because of your goodness. We have been redeemed once again because of your goodness, because you sent Jesus into the world to redeem us. We have been adopted by you, and a place in heaven reserved for us by your goodness. We're grateful. There is no way we could ever repay you for that except to say thank you. We love you and we want to do your will. Father, we are sorry if we offended you in any way. We may have committed some sins, maybe some big ones. Father, we will do our part to get to confession as soon as possible. And we want to also say we're sorry for missed opportunities, maybe things we should have done and we didn't do. Please help us to recognize, while we're still in Lent, to recognize those problem areas that need to be addressed so that we can, by the end of Lent, be closer to you than when we started. Finally, Father, we ask for our needs. Please give us this day our daily bread, whatever it is we need. You know better than we do, Father. We pray for all of our friends, families, acquaintances, all those who have asked for our prayers, all of our personal intentions. We give them up to you, Father. And I'm going to ask you, Father, to give me the words for this program today. Please lead my thoughts and direct my words so that I can deliver the message that you want me to deliver today. And please open all of our hearts and all of our minds to be receptive to what it is that you have to say, and be willing and ready to put it into practice in our own lives. Father God, we ask these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, thank you so much for praying with me. Again, my name is Gary Zimak. You can find out more about my work by going to followingthetruth.com. If you haven't done so, please sign up for my daily email reflection, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. If you do that, you'll be able to keep track of, in addition to get a daily reflection each day, if there's any news that I might have, such as my new book that's going to be coming out soon called Lord Save Me. You'll be able to find out more about that book. So it's a good idea to sign up for my reflection. The reason why I'm a little distracted, by the way, while you're at followingthetruth.com, you can find out about all of my books. You can find out about my upcoming appearances. And you can also find out how to contact me if you want to bring me into your parish. The reason I'm so distracted as I'm talking about my website, followingthetruth.com, is I want to just give a quick shout out to a special friend of mine, Martin, who has been a loyal supporter of my ministry for so many years. Martin, my friend, I know you listen to this program. I'm very grateful for your support, for your prayers. I don't know where I'd be without you. I just want you to know, my brother, that I am praying for you, and I'm praying for your sister as well. I did get your note about your sister being ill, and I would just like to let you know that I am praying for your sister, and invite anybody who is listening to pray for Martin's sister as well. It's an honor to be able to pray for one another, and if you're listening, I am, in addition to Martin and his sister, I'm praying for you as well, as I always tell you at the end of the show. So know that you are covered in prayers. But Martin, I just wanted to personally thank you for all your support over the years. I am incredibly grateful. All right, so followingthetruth.com is my website. Let's talk a little bit about Give Up Worry for Lent, the book that I wrote that I've been highlighting in my daily email reflections, and that we talk about on this show briefly on the Sundays of Lent. And it's a message that I've been delivering around the country. I've been all around the country this year. Once again, Lent has been busy, but it's been incredibly fruitful. So I'm grateful for your prayers as I continue my work. Please continue to pray for me, for my work, for my travels, for my family, and know that you are in my prayers as well. So today's reflection for Give Up Worry for Lent, it's day 19, the third Sunday of Lent. The reading, the scripture passage, comes from John chapter 6, verses 8 through 9. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There's a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are they among so many?" This is a great example, and I'll tell you the reason I included this verse in the book. This is the setup to Jesus feeding 5,000 men plus women and children, the estimate being 12 to 13,000 people, with 5 loaves and 2 fish. I thought this was, you could take a lot of verses out of that particular story, the multiplication of the loaves and the fish, but I really wanted to key in on Andrew. Andrew's an apostle, the brother of Simon Peter. When they realized they had so many thousands of people to feed, he pointed out to Jesus, there's a young boy here who has 5 loaves and 2 fish, but what is that among so many? In other words, We have no idea. Sometimes we have no idea. Most of the time we have no idea exactly what God can do. When, especially when we look at his power through our human eyes, using our human intellect. The first thing that Andrew did was look at the food and say, this is not enough. We can't do this. And I think that's the lesson. For those of us who tend to be anxious, for those of us who worry more than we should, we're doing this all the time. I don't have what it takes. I don't know how to do this home repair. I don't know how I'm ever going to fix. And the reason this is really near and dear to my heart is I'm dealing with some home repair issues right now, some problems, some plumbing issues, some handyman issues. I don't know how to do any of this work. And it can be very stressful. So I need people to help me out. But the Lord is helping me. He's sending me the people. I'm praying about it and it's getting done. But it's so easy. It could be a financial problem. It could be medical issues. I can't do this, Lord. Could be loneliness. Could be work at the office. Could be schoolwork. I can't do this, Lord. I don't have enough. And to that, I would say, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but I would say Jesus could very easily say, you're right, you can't do this, but I can help you. And that's the key. That's the key that we lose sight of so many times. Don't try to do it on your own. When we look at the gospel and the readings for the third Sunday of Lent in just a couple of minutes, we're going to get an idea of how merciful God is. When he sees us struggling, he wants to help us, but he doesn't want to violate our free will. He wants us to ask for that help. So I'm going to encourage you today to do that, to ask the Lord for help. Don't panic. Do the best you can. Absolutely. Try to solve your problems. He wants you to do that. But don't panic when you can't fix things on your own, because often the Lord puts us in situations like that so that we realize how much we need him. And during Lent, this is a great thing to work on, to recognize how much we need the Lord, who is infinitely kind and merciful, which leads us into the Mass readings for the third Sunday of Lent. Let's start with the gospel as we always do. The gospel is the star of the show, and the other readings are chosen. It's the neat thing about Lent. We'll see that these readings are specifically chosen. It's not a matter of going sequentially from week to week as we see in ordinary time. During Lent, each of these readings are pieced together by the church to help lead us down this path of Lent. And this week, the focus is on the incredible mercy of God. The gospel is Luke chapter 13, verses 1 through 9. Some people told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with the blood of their sacrifices. And Jesus said to them in reply, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, they were greater sinners than all other Galileans? By no means, but I tell you, if you do not repent, you will all perish as they did. Or those 18 people who were killed when the tower at Siloam fell on them. Do you think they were more guilty than anyone else who lived in Jerusalem? By no means. But I tell you, if you do not repent, you will all perish as they did." And Jesus told them this parable. There was once a person who had a fig tree planted in his orchard. And when he came in search of fruit on it, but found none, he said to the gardener, "For 3 years now, I have come in search of fruit on this fig tree, but have found none. So cut it down. Why should it exhaust the soil?" He said to him in reply, "Sir, leave it for this year also, and I shall cultivate the ground around it and fertilize it. It may bear fruit in the future. If not, you can cut it down." There's a lot going on in this gospel. And I think the first part of the gospel, and you know, we don't need to go into all of the details to get the message here. Essentially, what we have is certain people who are thinking that they're privileged and that they have no need to repent. Listen, you and I, we could all fall into this. To one degree or another, it's very easy to fall into this trap. I go to church every week. I don't need to repent. I'm a good person. I go to daily mass. I receive the Eucharist every day. I go to confession. Lent's for other people. Lent's for sinners. It's not for me. And here's the problem. And don't think I don't struggle with this. Sometimes I fall into this pitfall as well. The situation is we are all sinners. We are all in need of repentance. And remember, repentance is that Greek word, metanoia, an internal change of heart. That's what the Lord's looking for, to turn away from those things which keep us away from Him and turn toward Him and put Him first. That's what repentance is, that internal change which leads to outward actions, because He's not just looking for internal change, saying, oh yeah, Lord, that's a good point. I agree with you. Yes, that's a real bad sin. No, He's looking for that internal change to say, okay, now I'm going to do something. But so many times we concentrate on the externals and forget the internal change. The Lord wants us to change from the inside, because every one of our actions, every one of our words, they begin with thoughts. So it begins by changing our thoughts. But none of us should be looking at ourselves, comparing ourselves to people who maybe are not practicing the faith, who maybe have fallen away, and saying, oh no, I'm in good shape. They're the ones who have to repent. We all need to repent. And the church gives us this opportunity during Lent to do so. The second part of this gospel deals with the parable. And basically, Jesus is telling a story about a person who planted a fig tree, and the fig tree is not producing fruit. But the person who planted the tree basically is telling the gardener to give it some time. Yes, the tree is not producing fruit. Give it a little time, and let's give it a chance. And if it still doesn't produce fruit at some point in the future, we're going to cut it down. Now, when we apply this lesson to us, it's a little bit scary. But I don't know. I think this is a pretty motivational thought. During Lent, we're reminded that we're going to die and be judged. There's no way I can sugarcoat that, because that's the truth. And rather than let it freak us out, I don't think it should. What it should do, I know what it does to me, is scare me a little bit, but scare me in a good way into action, because I tend to get complacent. I tend to drag my feet sometimes. I tend to procrastinate. What the church tells us during Lent is, all right, we're going to have this 40-day period to try to make things right, to try to get back on the right track, to try to start doing the things we should have been doing from the beginning. And eventually, you and I, we're not going to get another Lent. I've told you this story before. I've known several people who I went through the Lenten season with, either in my parish or friends of mine. We talked about the mass readings together during Lent. And that Lent, unbeknownst to any of us, was their last. It's a little scary. Look, I'm not meaning to shake you up, but in a sense, I guess I am. Because I have to do it. I have to shake myself up. You're listening right now. You're alive. It's Lent. You got a chance, and so do I. Let's continue to take it seriously. And let's let the church lead us through these great readings that we get each week, and really each day if you follow along with the daily mass readings, and really ponder these points that the Lord speaks to us through the scriptures, and make a decision that we're going to respond in some way. So that gospel is all about mercy. And the Lord has given us another day in another Lenten season, 2025, to work on following Him more closely. Let's look at the first reading, Exodus, beginning in chapter 3, verse 1. Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. Leading the flock across the desert, he came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There an angel of the Lord appeared to Moses in a fire flaming out of a bush. As he looked on, he was surprised to see that the bush, though on fire, was not consumed. So Moses decided, I must go over to look at this remarkable sight and see why the bush is not burned. When the Lord saw him coming over to look at it more closely, God called out to him from the bush, "Moses, Moses." He answered, "Here I am." God said, "Come no nearer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. I am the God of your fathers." He continued, "The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob." Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. But the Lord said, "I have witnessed the affliction of my people in Egypt, and have heard their cry of complaint against their slave drivers. So I know well what they are suffering. Therefore I have come down to rescue them from the hands of the Egyptians, and lead them out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey." Moses said to God, "But when I go to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' if they ask me, 'What is his name?' What am I to tell them?" God replied, "I am who am." Then he added, "This is what you shall tell the Israelites. I am sent me to you." God spoke further to Moses, "Thus shall you say to the Israelites, 'The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, for thus I am to be remembered through all generations.'" Because we don't have a lot of time, and I want to just stick to the general theme, I'm just going to summarize this first reading. It's all about mercy. God saw that his people were suffering as slaves, and he was beginning the process to deliver them out of slavery. You and I, when Adam and Eve committed the original sin, you and I could no longer be able to make it to heaven, no matter how much we did and followed the Lord. It was impossible. The gates of heaven were locked. As a result, we were being denied our eternal happiness. So God sent Jesus into the world to redeem us on the cross, to make eternal happiness in heaven possible. That's an example of mercy. That's how much he loves us. That's how much he cares about us. Let's look at the psalm, the responsorial psalm, Psalm 103. "The Lord is kind and merciful." Well, that fits, doesn't it? "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all my being, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. He pardons all your iniquities, heals all your ills. He redeems your life from destruction, crowns you with kindness and compassion. The Lord secures justice and the rights of all the oppressed. He has made known his ways to Moses and his deeds to the children of Israel. Merciful and gracious is the Lord, slow to anger and abounding in kindness. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so surpassing is his kindness toward those who fear him." The Lord is kind and merciful. And there again, that mercy theme. The Lord cares about you. He wants to deliver you from the prison of sin and make sure that you and I get to eternal life in heaven. Lent is that time to recognize that, to recognize how Jesus suffered because of us, and to turn to him and ask for his help to get back on track. The second reading is from St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, beginning in chapter 10, verse 1. "I do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud and passed through the sea, and all of them were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from a spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Yet God was not pleased with most of them, for they were struck down in the desert. These things happen as examples for us, so that we might not desire evil things as they did. Do not grumble as some of them did, and suffer death by the destroyer. These things happened to them as an example, and they have been written down as a warning to us, upon whom the end of the ages has come. Therefore, whoever thinks he is standing secure should take care not to fall." And boom, that goes back to that gospel message, reminding us that we are all called to repent. There is something all of us can work on during the Lenten season, and we have limited time. You and I, we have a limited number of Lenten days left. We don't know how many more days we will get to experience Lent. Some of us could even die before Lent is over of this year. We don't know. So let's make the best use of our present time. Let's recognize that God's merciful. He didn't just wipe us out. He's giving us a chance. And let's do what we can to draw closer to Him and to live the way He wants us to live. And you know the reward? Obviously, eternal life. But you know another immediate reward? Peace. And for my fellow worriers out there, we're looking for peace. There is no other way to find lasting peace in life than to do the will of God. When we sin, we're not doing His will. It really is that simple. So during Lent, we are given that chance to follow Jesus into the desert, away from the distractions, focus on what really matters, do some fasting, do some praying, do some external action such as almsgiving. All of that's going to bring us closer to the Lord and give us the peace we seek. All right? All right. We got it all in. Excellent. I want to thank you for joining me today. It's always a pleasure to be with you. If you have questions, please email me at gary@followingthetruth.com or head on over to my website, followingthetruth.com, and you can contact me through the website as well. God willing, I plan to be back here next week as we look at the Mass readings for the fourth Sunday of Lent, Laetare Sunday. Rejoice Sunday. It's a reminder that we're getting near the finish line, but look, let's not give up yet. We got a long way to go, but if we take it one day at a time and really let the Lord give us the grace to draw closer to Him, to clean up our bad mess one day at a time, it's going to be very effective, very fruitful, going to give us great peace, and eventually it's going to get us to heaven. Sounds like a good deal, right? Again, thank you so much for everything. God bless you, and I look forward to being with you next week here on the program. I'm praying for you. Don't forget that. Bye-bye.